such a shame that you're mine. We're together loving, we're together loving, we're together wonderful to be.
Church, this next song we're singing, it's got a lot of words in it. I mean, but in all actuality, we talked about this at practice. It's got 5 words, and you can sing that over and over. And that's what makes the song. It talks about how He loves us. No matter what we do, what we go through, He's always there to love us. Whether you do this, you do that, He's going to love you unconditionally.
And there you go.
That's a love that, I don't know, it's indescribable.
He is jealous for me. He looks like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wings and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipse my glory. And then I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of His grace and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions, it's my glory. Yet I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your reflections are for me. Loves, oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. He loves us. No. His wind and mercy. It's all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions and thoughts by glory. And then I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. He loves. No love beyond us. No love beyond us. No love beyond us.
And we are his prize, drawn to redemption by the grace of his eyes. And his grace is an ocean, we're all shaken away. But I
say this,
how he loves us so.
Sing it with us, church.
Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Come on, church, sing that again. That's awesome. Nobody loves us like Jesus. Nobody. Nobody. Praise God. God is awesome. Sing that again, y'all. Sing that again. Sing it, church.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on. Don't it feel good to be in this house and know that he loves you? I want y'all to just step out a little bit. Turn around to somebody, shake somebody's hand, talk to them. Know that you're glad you're in the house of the Lord. It's an awesome day. Children's church. And then tell them, get ready for something special. God is so good. Now we're gonna do something a little different today. We're gonna talk about a controversial subject. How many like controversial subjects? We're gonna hit some controversial subjects over the next couple of weeks. The Lord's been dealing with me about it, and so again, remember at the first of the year the Lord told me to start preaching on stewardship, and so I did, and now he's been dealing with me about, fellas, y'all come on up and fix it in front of me anyway so they can be ready to go. So I can just walk right out and there it is. I'm telling you, if it isn't controversial, something's wrong. Amen. Just put that, set it right in front of me where I can walk down there and everybody can see it. Just put the bowl there and put the picture right here. Yeah, yeah, sit on top of that. And just put the picture over there on the steps. Okay. I've been, again, here's some of this stuff the Lord been telling me to deal with. Before we get started, I want to say something. Adam one day was talking to God, and he said, Lord, he said, why'd you make Eve so beautiful, long, beautiful hair, and her eyes are just so awesome, and her voice is so sweet? And he said, that's easy. So you would love her. He said, okay, let me ask you another question. Why'd you make her so dumb? He said, so she'd love you. That came to me last night. My wife said, that's pretty cool. So I said, all right, well, go ahead. I'm going to sit down because I'm still, the Lord's healing me. I'm in the process of being healed, but I'm still having some rough stuff with the neck and the throat and still very weak and can't eat. So for pray, because I love to eat. That's one of my hobbies. praise God. God is so good. So good. Get your Bible. We're going to talk about Pentecost. How many want to talk about Pentecost? Pentecost is a great subject. Is there any more lights you can throw down here on me, brother? One of those lights is burnt out, of course. We find it out right at service time. There you go. There's a good one. Now I can see. I might not look as good with that light on, but I feel better. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Luke chapter 24. Now you've got the four Gospels. And the four Gospels are actually four accounts of the same thing. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are the synoptic Gospels. The reason they're synoptic is because they're like synonyms. They're alike. They have a whole lot of stuff alike. It was written soon after the death of Jesus. And then you have the book of John that was written closer to the end of the first century. John comes along and says, y'all guys, I'm not going to add two, but I'm going to actually talk about it in a different way. I'm going to tell you from my version of what I saw. So you'll see 70% of John is not in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But you look back and forth and you'll see that they all talk about Jesus after he resurrected and when he come and he talked to him. And then there's the Great Commission. Well, Luke, how many of that Luke is actually a two-volume set? Luke is volume 1. Luke volume 2 is what? Acts. That's why he's talking. Both are written to Theophilus, which is lover of God. So it's probably code written for somebody and or just lovers of God. And he ends Luke, then he starts these former treaties have been made, and he begins in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, which is Luke volume 2. So what we're going to do is we're going to just kind of talk about something a little bit on a different side today. And next week, we're going to really talk more about Pentecost. So this day, we're going to talk about the promise. You know, let's read here. The Bible tells us in Luke 24. Get Luke 24. Luke 24. Let's just go to verse 38. Stand for the reading of the word. You got your Bible, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. All right, verse 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me here have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took, and he did eat it before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here is where we're going to start with us now. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, these guys are hurt. They're heartbroken. They've been behind locked doors. They're scared to death. They think they're going to die. They think the same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. And I like to think that they were big and bold and bad, but they weren't big and bold and bad. They were afraid. Somebody say afraid. If you look over in the book of John, he had to go through locked doors to get to him. And it's just so much going on here in these guys' life. They're trying to go back to fishing. That's not working. They're really having a hard time. And so Jesus comes up to him and he tells them all of this. And then he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Let me read that again. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass as while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. There's a lot of difference from when he comes up and talks to him and then as he's being taken away. Look at all the difference. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're here with us in a very powerful, powerful way. I thank you, God, that nothing is going to stand in our way, Lord. Father, you are in control of everything. Lord, I ask you right now to touch us, Lord, to open our eyes, to open our ears. Help us, Lord, to be open-minded. Lord, to hear what you've got to say to us, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to preach again, Lord. It's been a while, and I've really been missing it, God. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Way down, shake two or three hands, or give them high fives, low fives, no fives, fist bumps, whatever. If you're with your wife, you can get a peck on the lips. I said if it was your wife, you could kiss her. Okay, y'all get ready now. We're going to talk, like I said, this can be very controversial because there's so many different ways, and every time we go to Emmaus, this winds up, they have a question and answer period for the preachers. And usually, I'm the only Pentecostal there, and there'll be a Methodist and a Baptist or something, and we'll all get talking about it, but like DC said, it's amazing how, even though we all see different, there's a lot we see eye to eye. And we didn't contradict each other. We actually just filled in the blanks for each other. So that's cool. Because remember, this isn't about super Christian. A Pentecostal Christian, just because you believe in Pentecost doesn't make you super Christian. Doesn't make you better than any other Christian. It's just you believe you've been plugged into a power that is greater than you that can help you do things that you need to do. Matter of fact, it's extraordinary power given to ordinary people so they can do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Amen? So now I watched the world that we're going through, and you know how many know they say well maybe the unemployment rate is going down some. Do you know that if you were to take the unemployment rate and really put it all together, and then put in the people that even got tired of looking for work and just quit, that you could triple the rate. Amen. But the government tries to put a spin on it about how great a job they're doing, and they're not doing a great job at all. Okay, I mean, I know it's easy for me to criticize because I don't have to handle it, but I can tell you what, I talk to a lot of people that actually live in the place of no promise. No promise. There's a lot of people I know that if maybe, let's just look at this. There are many folks today walking around feeling a sense of hopelessness. They've lost hope in the government. They've lost hope in their jobs or in the job market. They've lost hope in the power of the churches. They've lost hope in the future. They just believe there is no promise. I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. You see it all the time. You have to fight it off your own self because it's there. Let me just say something. With the government, I know that they're not perfect and they'll never be, but the one I serve, the government, is upon his shoulders. And he is in control. And I don't have to worry no matter if Washington, D.C. shuts down today, God is still in control, and God will still take care of us, and God is still in control of the government. Amen. Jobs, yeah, the jobs are going crazy. You know that? But you know something? God is my source, and I trust him. He's not looking for the next bailout. He's not looking for the next check. He is there. He's taking care of us. Amen. When nobody else can take care of you, God can. And the churches, it seems like a lot of times the churches now especially have been losing enthusiasm, losing power, losing attendance. The Mills told me that it's hard to even get a Sunday night anymore, anywhere. So, you know how good they were? They were tremendous. But you know what? They said it's hard, even in the church of God, it's hard to get a Sunday night to get people to come to church anymore. And he says they're doing it on Sunday mornings now, and they can't even seem to get the church to fill up on Sunday morning. You know, it's like the church has kind of got some hopelessness feeling in it. But I'm here to tell you something. Matthew 16:18 says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is not going down. The church is not going under. When everything else has lost its power and everything else is a blur, the church will still be standing. Matter of fact, it's not going to be long. The church is going to hear a trumpet, and we're going to be gone. Praise the Lamb of God. God is in control! And people think there's no future. Let me tell you something. There's coming a time when Satan's going to be baking in a lake and I'm going to be laying by the river of life, eating from the tree of life. Praise the Lamb of God. God's still in control. You know, me and DC were here Friday night after everybody left because Don, who knows how to cook a steak. Amen. There's a steakhouse in Greenville looking for you right now. They need a chef. Matter of fact, there's two of them. You can bargain against each other. And I hadn't been able to eat anything, but I said, I bet I can eat that thing. And I ate about a quarter of it. Of course, DC downed his like Maddie and Inky. But DC just had surgery. And I'm still feeling the mully grubs. And so everybody's gone. And we get in the truck to back up, and it goes, bonk, bonk. I said, DC, we're in trouble. He says, what's wrong? I said, I think we got a flat. He pulled up, blunt, blunt. Yeah, we did. And so me and DC together got that 900-pound tire. We had a flashlight that was working. About time we really needed it, it quit. And DC had given me a little pen that day that had a little light in it. And so I went and got that little pen, and we watched it with a little light. We were getting everything going. By the time we got home, I was ready to go to bed. Yeah, but you know what? I told DC, I said, son, it's okay. It's just Satan trying to get to you. We got this thing because God's still in control. We're not hopeless. God didn't go in and say, you know what? I'm gonna let them just get under the gun with the truck being down. No. God had everything under control. Matter of fact, if you believe God's still got everything under control, the government, jobs, churches, future, promise, all I always want you to do, I want you right now, to the top of your lungs, I want you to praise God, clap your hands, and let the world know that we, I want the people right by, I want them to hear this. Let them know that God's in control. Yeah! Yes! Now, this is where the disciples were at. They found themselves in the same place, a sense of hopelessness. Jesus, the one they had thought was going to reign, they were thinking at the Last Supper, mom's coming up there for James and John and says, let one son sit on the right hand and one on the left. And those guys are fighting about who's the greatest. And Jesus says, y'all missed the whole boat. And next thing you know, Jesus is being drug off, being beaten, and is crucified. These guys, their world is turned upside down. Hey, have you ever had an expectation from God in your life, and all of a sudden it's all turned upside down? You thought you had it all figured out. It was all under control. You had the list that you checked off every morning, and now you get up and here everything is thrown all out of kilter. You know, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to brag on the devil, and I definitely want to brag on sickness, but I'm not a very, DC and I, when everybody else in the family were dying with sickness, me and DC walk around saying, y'all got a problem? DC and I don't get sick much. And when this thing hit me, I can tell you, you know it's bad when Patrick said, detention center, Patrick said, you want to go get some donuts? And I said, no, got to take me straight home. He started dropping me off by Paul's funeral home. And then, normally a couple of days, I'm back, and it was like 103 temperature for 2 weeks. At night. And then when the third doctor says, get off all the medicine the other two put you on, and says, David, look at me. You got to let Jesus heal you. And I said, well, I know he'll take my insurance. That's right. So here's the disciples now. Their life is shattered, torn to pieces. Everything they were expecting has been torn apart. Some of y'all in here, you know exactly what it feels like to have everything you thought lined up and then everything just beat you right down and life just took you, not just beat you down, but kicked you and beat you down again. That's what happened to these disciples. They lost hope in the government, of course, because the Romans had crucified him. They lost sense in jobs because they even tried to go out and fish, and they couldn't even fish. They couldn't even do that right. They saw the church as powerless because they were hiding behind locked doors. Their future was very bleak, and there was no promise. So Jesus comes along, and in Luke 24:49, he gives them a promise. He says, "Fellas, I know things seem to be, you're zapped. You're just zapped. But I'm here to tell you something. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you tear in Jerusalem, but you be endued with power from on high." Now, that's why I want this right here. Now, Mike Mills did a great job talking about bottles and deposits the other day and how we're just empty. When Jesus finds us, we're empty. That's how we are. We're just empty. But when Jesus comes along and we accept him as our personal Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. So that's us. Once you've accepted Jesus, now you got a fullness. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's awesome. Once that happened to me, my life got renewed and my life started feeling better. I was no longer thirsty. I was quenched on the inside because God was doing something inside of me. I was his child and I belonged to him. And see, these disciples, they knew there was some battlefield they were going to have to step on. Jesus knew that. And Jesus knew this. But Jesus said, "I'm getting ready to do more than this for y'all. Because this will get you ready for heaven. This gets you ready for heavenly experiences while you're on earth." He said, "But I want you to be endued with power from on high." The word endued means clothed. It actually means to drench. Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine? Now I'm not just baptized into the body of Christ, but now I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit is around me, in me, upon me. There's something special happening. Whenever the devil tries to touch me, look at what he's got to do. Wow. Whenever I got anything to do for God, look what's happening all around me. And it's just like a big old cloak. It's like Elijah's cloak when he did his miracles. And he took his cloak and when Elijah was going up, he threw the cloak down and threw it on Elisha. And that was symbolizing the Holy Ghost anointing and power. God doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to move on ahead. And again, some people have a problem with this, and that's okay. I'm not here to dispute with you. And if you want to dispute with me, we'll dispute after service all you want. I'll give you 5 minutes. It's like some Jehovah's Witness come to the house the other day, and I come to him and he said, "Do you realize the science in the Bible? Science is trying to tell us the Bible's not real." And I said, "I don't believe that." He says, "What do you believe?" I said, "I believe you need to leave because I got a temperature of 101. I feel bad, and I'm a Christian. You ain't going to change it." He wouldn't stop talking. So finally, the lady that drove him up, she rolled down the window. I said, "I got a temperature of 101. I'm contagious. I've got something, a strep virus." And I said, "And he won't quit talking." And she said, "Get in the car. Get in the car." I said, "Believe what you want to. You're not going to change the way I believe. Jesus is the reason." Amen? In the same way, I believe that there's a blessing when you're endued with power from on high. Amen? Matter of fact, Joel told us. Joel in 2:28 prophesied. The next thing we're going to do a little deeper in this. This is as deep as I'm going to go with it today, which is pretty deep. It's covering that cup. "And it came to pass afterwards that I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." Putting it pretty clear, Bethlehem was God with us. Amen? Calvary was God for us. Amen? Y'all getting quiet? Pentecost is God in and upon us. Amen? So let's just talk about the promise. So he was trying to tell him, I don't want y'all to feel like you're left out here with no hope, no promise, nothing there, no power. See, Jesus, when he came along, Jesus had the Holy Ghost beyond measure. Okay, that's why he did all the stuff he could do. So watch this now. Watch. First, the promise will lead them out. The Bible says in verse 50, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. Now, remember, they were locked. They were behind locked doors. Then they're out trying to fish, and they're scared to death. They won't even move. They've got their little place where they go to, and they hide back and forth because they're afraid they're going to be killed. And now once that promise is given unto them, now they lighten up. And it says he led them out as far as Bethany. Watch this, no move. Until this meeting, nothing. Somebody say nothing. Somebody else say nothing. Until this meeting with Jesus, nothing was taking place. Some of y'all in here right now, at this moment, if I said, what you doing? And you said nothing, you'd be telling the truth. Amen? So see, guys, let me tell you something. Ladies always ask the guys what you're thinking. And guys go, nothing. Ladies, that's true. Women, y'all are always thinking. Guys, we can sit there and just go, huh? Okay? So it's okay. If you hear a guy say, he says he's thinking nothing, he really is thinking nothing. Okay? But look. The reason there was no move in their life is because they were full of confusion. There was no clear word. But because Jesus came to them and gave them the promise of this power to do what they needed to do, now they're starting to get moving again. Things are starting to happen. They're starting to get a little excited. After this meeting, they gladly moved out the doors. That word led means to move out, to bring out, to deliver. So he didn't just lead them. He took them out of something negative. He took them out of this mully grub that they had. He took them out of this no hope situation. When he led them, they were expecting something powerful to happen. Now let me tell you something. Next time you feel the Holy Ghost leading you, next time you feel the Bible reading it and you're seeing it, start believing that can be me too. When you see the promises, start saying, I know I can have that too. God can do that for me too. How about somebody say that? God can do that for me too. Amen? Amen. So then not only did they move out, but they moved up because it said led them as far as Bethany. Bethany means house of fruit, house of joy. See, you think it was a long ways. He only led them a half a mile. And I looked at this thing here and I started thinking about this thing. He led them out to Bethany, to the house of joy. They've been in the house of pain, the place of no promise. He leads them out to Bethany, the house of joy. It's only a half a mile. And I just got to say something to you right now. Some of y'all right now, you have no promise in your life. But let me tell you something. If you let God lead you, you're closer to the promise than you believe. You're closer than you think. Matter of fact, you're so close right now. That's why Satan's trying to get you to give up, because you're just so close to seeing God do something spectacular in your life. And so Satan's trying to get you just before you step over the finish line. I'm here to tell you something right now. God is still at work. Even if you feel no promise, even if you feel no hope, God is still at work. And it's not as far as you think it is. God is still at work. Amen? Now, the direction is all uphill. How you know you're moving in the right direction? Because it's uphill both ways. Let that sink in. Is this mic on? Okay. So let's move on a little bit further. I'm not even going to keep you long today. I know you say I don't believe it. Believe it. Next, the promise will bless you. He goes out to Bethany. And he's standing there and he lifts his hands and he blessed them. Now, I like this word lift. It said he lifted. That means to over and over upon and to sacrifice. These are some powerful words. These aren't just little minor words. God put these words in here to make a difference. When he lifted his hands to bless them, it means to sacrifice also. You know, it cost the Father the Son, and it cost the Son his life. Amen? This isn't just some fairy tale. This isn't just something somebody told to make you feel good. This is something that's real. It's tangent. You can hold on to. You can believe in more than anything else in your life. It cost him. And when he lifted those hands to bless them, he didn't give some empty promise. He was showing hands that had nail prints in them and said, look, I'm alive. I'm well. I'm going to the Father. I'm giving you a job to do. You go ahead and do it with power and with anointing and know that I'm with you and nothing can stand in the way because I am alive. Praise God. And there's the longing. He blessed them. You know, some of you think God's a cruel God. You know, I spent the first couple of years of my life, because I was going to a very legalistic church. I spent the first couple of years of my life every Sunday morning in that altar for 20 or 30 minutes begging God to forgive me. The preacher would get up and tell us how bad we lived all week and tell me how bad I'd been. And by the time service was ended, I was so beat down, I'd get that altar and I'd pray, God, please, if you come, don't come till I'm ready. Please don't come till I'm ready. And I lived my life for fear. You know, that's not the kind of God we serve. He sees us. He knows us. And that's why he gives us his promise. That word blessed means to eulogize, to speak good of, to pronounce a blessing. Let me tell you something. You might not believe in yourself, but God believes in you. God believes in you. Somebody, y'all do this. Say, God believes in me. Somebody, say it again. God believes in me. Now point to somebody and say, God believes in you. God believes in us. Even if you don't think you've got anything to offer, God believes in you. Praise the Lamb of God. It's an awesome thought. God believes in us. Praise the Lamb of God. You know, I love to hear my dad say, good job, son. You know, but you know what? It's one thing to hear my dad say, good job, son. It's another thing to know that my father's up there saying, good job, son. I love you, son. I'm giving you what you need. I haven't put you out there and made and just laughed at you and left you all by yourself and I'm trying to hurt you or trying to beat you down. I've got, look at the scars in my hands. I'm an overcomer and I want you to be an overcomer. And you can't be an overcomer if you haven't overcome something. Praise the Lamb of God. I remember being as a football coach and watching D.C. I'm telling you, you've heard me tell you many times, D.C. could bust through about any line. And one reason he did, because at practice they would bust him. And I remember sitting there watching him. They were double-teaming him and triple-teaming him, and they knocked him down so hard, it made me hurt. And he got up, and when he got up, he was trying to breathe, and I saw the tears, and he leaned over, and I saw the tears falling out of his helmet. And the daddy in me would say, son, come on, let's go sit down. But you know what? I knew that wasn't going to make it happen. That weren't going to help him to be a good football player. That weren't going to help him to play that game on Saturday. And so what I did was I went down to him and said, I know it hurts. I said, but son, right now, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, except for on the football field. I said, I want you to give him everything you got. Hit him hard, hit him low, hit him fast, and then you just keep going. And I watched him tear those boys up. And again, daddy wanted to set him on the bench and beat those boys. But the coach knew that he needed something different. God knows what we need. The lesson, as he was blessing him, he was taken up. Let me ask you another question. How many here could stand to be lifted up a little bit? Watch this. You want to be lifted up? Try lifting up somebody else. There's a good one. So what? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You know, get quit thinking about you. I heard a guy one time. He kept talking about himself, and he finally got through. He finally gave me a chance to breathe, or him a chance to breathe. And he was talking about himself, and he said, "Okay, enough of me talking about me. You talk about me for a while. How great I am! How great I am! You know what? If all you can see is yourself, you're going to be a miserable person." But if you can see out in those fields and know that you can be a blessing to somebody, if you need lifting up, you lift up somebody else. It's amazing, amazing what happened. I hear these guys all the time when we come back from pit detention. They're tired from work or tired from being sore or whatever. And they'll say, man, this better be a good night. And then when they leave, they go, man, that was an awesome night. I feel so much better. I'm glad I went. Why? Because we're lifting up other people. Amen. It's not about us. I can guarantee you once they shut those two doors behind you, and you step in that little place with all those guys, it ain't about me anymore. Matter of fact, I just say, God, God, I'm hiding in your spirit. Amen. And some of these guys have been going so long. Some of these guys I've been ministering to now for about 8-9 years. Those guys know me, but there was one poor little guy. I thought he was one of the guys I knew. And I walked over in the federal side not long ago, and the guy's sitting there at the table with his head kind of bent over, and I was going to go pick on him because I thought I knew him. I jumped up behind him, and I grabbed him good and hard, shook him, and hollered. And I found out he ain't been there but a day or so, and I almost gave him a heart attack. Okay, so the promise will bless you. And the promise will put Jesus in his right place. You know, if you put Jesus in his right place, your life starts falling into place. I see a lot of people, their life's not in place, and I find out because Jesus is in second, third, fourth, fifth place. How many of you heard about the Triple Crown yesterday? Was it American Pharaoh? Is that his name? And now they've got something else called the Grand Slam. He's going to take him to some kind of British thing. If he gets that, it'll be called the Grand Slam if he wins. Matter of fact, they said that just from winning that race yesterday, for the next couple of decades, what's a decade? For the next couple of decades, he will make between $5 and $6 million a year just for studying. Wow. Can you imagine? Because he won the Triple Crown. He was a bad dude. I mean, he just went off, took off, and he had his own race going on while other horses were behind him. He, you know. Okay. What's that? Yeah. So it's amazing though. But now look, the promise will put Jesus in his right place. While he blessed him, he was carried into heaven. The place, let me tell you something. I don't know if you ever realized this or not. The same place where Jesus' sufferings began is the same place that his exaltation began. Wow. You see, now he's not on the cross. Now they're not coming at him. Now they're not here to beat him up and to slap him and to cover his face and to say, who hit you? Prophesy. Now is him, not on the cross, but alive and well and being getting ready to go to the Father. In the position as he blessed him, he parted and was carried. That word parted means to remove or to intervene. Again, it doesn't just mean to move, but it means once he did it for a purpose. And that was to intervene for these disciples. And of course, the power. Let me just read this scripture to you. Matthew chapter 16. It says in verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And here's where a lot of people get mixed up. They're not letting signs follow them. They're trying to follow signs. As long as you follow signs, you'll stay confused. As long as you just follow signs, you'll never really get a chance to do what God wants you to do. Let the signs follow you. Amen. You know, I was working with a man. I was in a group for a while when I was in Benson. Their bass player was my age and had heart problems. Eventually, he died. But I played with them for about 6 months, and there was a drummer, one of the best drummers I think I'd ever heard. He worked for the state, and one day we were practicing at the church, and he weren't there. And eventually, we've been practicing for an hour, and the guy finally come in. And he come in kind of walking back and forth. His eyes were all bug-eyed. And I didn't know what was going on. I knew years ago he'd been a drug addict years ago, and I wondered if he'd got back on drugs or what, because the way he was walking in. And we said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I'll never ask God for another sign." And I said, "What's wrong, buddy?" He said, "I've been in the hospital for 2 days." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He's a state worker." He said, "I was on the side of the road asking God to give me a sign." And he said, "One of the state trucks rode by, and when it did, another truck come by, and a big old gust of wind knocked a sign out of the back of the state truck, and it hit me right square between the eyes." He said, "It knocked me right square on my back." He said, "I'll never ask God for another sign." "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So now, let's go back over here. See, there's a positional power. He was up into heaven and he sat down. He was by the hand of God. That's positional power. And then there's occupational power. They went forth, the Lord working with them. And then finally, I told you I won't keep you long. The promise will put you in proper perspective. I see people all the time that their perspective is so wrong. They think they got it figured out, and they ain't got it figured out. You know, I keep asking God to help me keep an open mind, because you know what? Especially over the last 5 years, I believe I would have messed a lot if I hadn't kept an open mind, because the landscape's changing so fast. It's happening. It's changing faster than we ever could imagine. And before Jesus Christ comes back, which I believe should be any day now, it's going to change even more. But the action, it said they returned to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. You can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. If you think we're going to stay on the mountaintop all the time, you're going to be sad. Because God doesn't want us to stay on the mountaintop. He needs us to come down, because we're called to warfare. The warfare is down here in the foxholes. And the attitude, they worshiped God. That means to kiss the prostrate. And they had great joy. They were happy. They were well off. Again, just a few moments before this, they're really sad. But after they get this promise, and it helps their perspective, and they see Jesus go up, wow. Wow. See, it's like this. Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The church went out. Y'all say it with me. Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The church went out. Amen. And the activity were continually in the temple, praising. That word praise is loud clamor. And blessing, eulogizing blessings about God. Wow. So let me ask you, are you ready for some hope? Hold on to this promise. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Matter of fact, here's what we're going to do before I have the altar call. Guys, y'all come on up. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to stand. And I want you to praise Him. I want you to bless Him. Not because you feel like it. Not because everything's going your way. But because you believe Jesus' promise is real. You know, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they'd been in that place for 10 days. 10 whole days. They had been in there. They'd been conducting business. They appointed another apostle to take Judas' place. And they were conducting business, but they also were praising God and blessing Him for 10 whole days. The Bible says there were 500 were with Him at that mountain, over 500 in Corinthians. But only 120 were there on the 10th day. Only 120 had thinned out that much because they couldn't stand the weight. But you know what? Right now, to the top of your lungs, I mean, I want people's cars to rattle when they come by. I want you to praise God, and I want you to bless Him out loud right now. Go ahead. Come on. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're awesome. You're magnificent. You're our deliverer. You're our healer. You're our instructor. You help us, God. You give us strength. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you're all in all, and we thank you for it, Lord. One more time, glory! We got the promise! We got the promise! Praise the Lamb of God. Now, right now, if you're not feeling a whole lot of promise in your life, or you need God to do something for you in your life, or you just need God to help you with your perspective, whatever. Or you just want to thank God, I want you to come on up to this altar. Come on up here. Watch out for the water unless you want to be baptized. God's got something special for you. God's got something special for you. God's got something special for you. Praise God, there's power. There's power. There's power. There's power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory! Thank you for the power. Thank you for the promise. 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 We're not here by ourselves. We haven't got to fight this battle on our own. There's a promise for us. There's a promise. There's a promise. I thank you, God, for the promise. I thank you for the promise. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you for the promise. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. We love you. We praise your name. We thank you for that promise. You said we'll be endued with power from on high. We can overcome. We can be overcomers. We can conduct spiritual warfare. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Help us get serious about you, Lord. Get serious about you, Lord. Not put you fourth, fifth, or sixth on the list, but put you first. Put you first. Lord, we thank you. Let us put you first. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, God. Glory. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Without you.
this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence spoken to me. This is the air I breathe.
If you know the words, sing it, church. There's a promise. There's a promise.
Your holy presence.
Thank you, Father.
Spoken.
Thank you.
To me. And I I'm desperate for you.
Yes.
And I'm desperate for you. And I'm desperate for you, Lord.
Yes.
And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you.
Praise God. Now I want y'all to get ready for next week. And here's how you're going to get ready for next week. I want you to read that passage of Scripture. There's a promise from my Father. And I also want you to read Mark chapter 16, verse 19 through 20. God hadn't left us down here helpless. He hasn't left us down here hopeless. God's helped us. Helped us. We're not powerless. We're not a powerless, hopeless church. God's given the church favor and given the church power and anointing. And it's time we stand up and use it. Amen? This isn't a museum for perfect people to show off. This is a hospital for the hurting. And we're all hurting. We're wounded healers. Thank God that we've been through something. A wounded healer knows what to do. Amen? So look, hold on to that promise, because in these last days, we're really going to need this. Really going to need it. Amen? Come back tonight. We're going to have a good service tonight. We're going to have a wonderful service tonight. Looking forward to the service tonight. Praise God. Isn't God awesome? Brother Benny, you dismiss us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you.